Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. Over the past few weeks, I've been doing a personal study on the book of Nehemiah, and personally, I find the character very fascinating. Nehemiah was a guy who prayed a lot. A lot of his prayers are recorded in the Bible. He's definitely a man of prayer, a visionary. But what I find fascinating about him is that in addition to being a man of prayer, he was a man of strategy. He knew how to pray and plan. The Bible talks about committing your plans to the Lord, and He will make your ways prosper. Nehemiah was the perfect example of that. He was like a chess player, strategizing, looking at different scenarios, planning two steps ahead, and praying fervently every step of the way. Let's read from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, so this was his job. His job was to taste the wine to make sure everything was good, there was no poison. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before, verse 2. Therefore, the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." See, the king obviously is looking at Nehemiah to see if he is sick in any way from the food, then he will not eat the food. But he realized, "You're not sick, you're just sad. Why are you sad?" So Nehemiah is saying, "I became dreadfully afraid. And I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?'" Nehemiah had received a report in chapter 1, that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and he wept. That really hit him hard. He wept, he prayed, and he fasted. And then this incident is happening. So the king now said to me, "What do you request?" So here's what happened. "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king," and I'm going to paraphrase this now, "I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, 'Well, you know, I don't really want to impose. I'm not going to ask for too much. But you need to send me to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Make me governor of Jerusalem. Send letters in my hand to all the governors of the surrounding areas, so none of them will oppose me or give me a hard time. And send a letter to your forest keeper so he could give me all the timber and lumber that I need to construct this wall.' Nothing much, you know, just that." And as I read that, I started thinking to myself, wait, I missed something. Going back to verse 4, "Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' And the second half of verse 4, which some people call 4b, "I prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, give me such and such.'" But wait, the prayer is not recorded. And I found that very interesting, because there are a lot of Nehemiah's prayers that are recorded in detail in the Bible. But this particular prayer is not recorded. "I prayed to the God of heaven, comma, and then I said to the king." So I want you to picture now how this happened. Nehemiah could not say to the king, "King, hear what? I need you to give me 1 hour to pray and I'll get back to you." It didn't work like that. It wasn't like today where we have democracy, rights, freedom. It wasn't like that at all. Nehemiah was essentially a slave. He did not have the luxury of telling the king, "Give me an hour and I'll get back to you." Because this opportunity that was presented to him might not be available in 1 hour from now. He had to answer the king right there and then. So most likely Nehemiah just prayed very quickly in his mind, and then he answered the king. And the list of things that he as the king for was so carefully thought out. Now, how was he able to think through all of that in such a short time, in just a 2-second prayer? And as I studied the book of Nehemiah more, I realized this was not the first time that Nehemiah was praying about this particular issue. When the opportunity arose, he just gave a 2-second prayer in his mind. But he had been praying about this for months in advance. In fact, now if we go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, we see where all of this started. In the month of Kislev, in the Hebrew calendar, Nehemiah got a bad report that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And then when we start chapter 2, it says, in the month of Nisan, the king asked him, why are you sad? Now, if you look at the Hebrew calendar, that's a period of 4 months. So that means there was a period of 4 months when Nehemiah prayed and he wept before God day and night about this particular issue. And let me just quickly go through the prayer that Nehemiah prayed. So I sat down and I wept and I mourned many days. It turned out to be 4 months. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Lord God, great and awesome God, you keep your covenant of mercy. So he reminded God of his covenant. He confessed their sins. Then he reminded God of his promise. If we return to you, you will bring us back to our land. And then he said in verse 11 of chapter 1, let your servant prosper this day. I pray that you will grant me favor in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So notice, for 4 months prior to the incident we read about in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah was praying to God. And he wasn't just praying flippant prayers. He was praying very strategically. He prayed for God to give him favor with this man. This man had to be referring to the king for whom Nehemiah worked. So that means Nehemiah went before God and he was praying, Lord, the walls in Jerusalem are broken down. How could we get this thing repaired? Lord, I want you to send me. But in order for you to send me, the king has to give me permission to leave because I can't just leave. So I pray that you will give me favor with the king. You will cause him to ask me, what do I want? And when that time comes, give me wisdom. Let me know all that I need to ask him for. And he did that for 4 months, day and night, before his opportunity arose. What I find fascinating is the way Nehemiah strategized in prayer. The way he went before God, and he didn't just pray flippant prayers like most of us do. He didn't say, Lord, let the walls be rebuilt. Lord, please rebuild your walls. You know, like how we pray, Lord, please save my unsaved loved ones. Flippant prayers. He didn't do that. He didn't say, Lord, send somebody. Lord, do something about it. He said, Lord, I need to do something about it. Help me. Show me how. Make a way. Open a door. 4 months he prayed and he strategized and he fasted and he strategized and he planned. He prayed and he planned. And when his opportunity finally arose, he pounced on it like a lion. That is how Nehemiah operated. He was not a flippant prayer. Many of us today are flippant. We pray things like, Lord, let your will be done. No, I understand. There's nothing wrong with praying, let your will be done, because Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done. There's nothing wrong with that, but it has to be done in the right way. Many of us pray, let your will be done, and we pray that from a position of willful ignorance. When we pray, Lord, let your will be done, we essentially saying many times, Lord, I don't know what your will is, I don't care. I don't want to take the work and the effort to find out. Lord, just let your will be done, whatever that is. Imagine if you go to a job interview and you tell the interviewer, I don't know anything about what your company does or what your company is about, but if you want to hire me for the job, I'm available. Most likely, you're not going to get that job because you're communicating to the employer that you don't really care, you have a flippant attitude, and that's usually not what employers look for. Imagine when you go to God praying like that, Lord, save my unsaved loved ones. And that's it. What you should be praying for is, Lord, pique some kind of curiosity in my unsaved loved ones. Put within them a desire for the things of God. Show them my light. Let my life be a light unto them. And let them come to me and ask me, how do you do this? How do you live in this world? Ask me for some kind of advice. And when they ask me for advice, give me the wisdom to know what to tell them so I could say something about Christ that will lead them to you. That's how Nehemiah would have prayed for his unsaved loved ones. And he would have prayed that way day and night, not knowing how long this whole process would take. But he would pray until the moment arose when his unsaved loved ones come and they say, how do you live for God in this day and age? And then he will answer the question and he will tell them everything he has to tell them about the gospel and about Christ. That is how Nehemiah would have prayed. He was not a reactionary prayer. He did not wait for the situation to arise and then to react. Oh Lord, what do I do now? He knew in advance. He was praying for that particular situation. And when that situation arose, he didn't need to take time off to pray. He could have just prayed for 2 seconds in his mind and he knew exactly what to ask the king for. You know, many times two single people have some kind of interest in each other and they're talking or dating, whatever you want to call it. And one of them, usually the guy, expresses interest in marriage, in a relationship. And then the girl says, give me a week to pray about it. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you now praying about this? You've been getting close to this guy or dating this guy for a while. Why are you now praying about it? You should already know the answer to that question. In fact, if you're a single person in the church, you should be praying about every other single Christian person that you know of the opposite sex. Every single Christian in your church, in other churches that you know, everybody who is of the opposite sex, you should already be praying about every one of them, saying to God, what do you think about this one? God, do you think this one will be a good match for me? Why do you do that? So if a situation arises, you're already on top of it. You already know how to respond if this happens, if that happens, if this doesn't happen. That's how Nehemiah would have done it. He prayed and he planned. He prayed and he strategized. And there are many other areas in our lives where we could adopt some of these strategies. For example, let's suppose you're a student and you have to write an exam. Many of us just pray a flippant prayer like, on the day of the exam, you will take about 2 minutes before the exam starts and you will pray, Lord, help me to do well in this exam. Or you will pray something like, let the exam be easy, let them mark me easy. Some people will even pray, Lord, supernaturally reveal the answers to me. These are all flippant prayers because you show no concern about the process, about trying to understand how God works in the situation. Let me tell you how Nehemiah would have prayed for an exam. First of all, in class, he would say, Lord, touch my mind so I could understand everything that's going on in this class. Help me to absorb the information. When I study, guide me and direct me so I will focus on the areas that are important. If I happen to be studying anything that's not going to come for the exam or that's not important, just help me to lose interest in it and to move on to something more important. And as I study, help me to absorb, to retain, to apply the information so that when the exam comes around, I wouldn't just scrape through and pass. I will destroy that exam. And on the day of the exam, you don't have to pray. 2 second prayer. Lord, help me. Because you've already done all the prayer. You've already done all the planning. And you didn't just pray for the end result. You prayed for the process. That is how Nehemiah did it. He prayed and he fasted and he wept and he strategized before God for 4 months before his opportunity arose. And when his opportunity arose, he struck like a lion. That is something that I find very interesting and it's something that I'm trying to implement in my own life. I pray that what I shared today will help you in some way. If there's anything in your prayer life that's lacking, any areas in which you're being flippant, and careless and lackadaisical, I pray that God will reveal that to you and He will make you much more powerful.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.